Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam and Garth. It's Thursday, the 20th of August, 2015. This podcast is available from iTunes and also Podomatic, but you can go to our website, krazfiles.com, always C-R-A-Z-Z, and plenty of stuff going up there. Please check it out, and thanks for listening to our show. Okay, Garth, we are plugged into the Matrix and ready to go for another week.
Yes. Yes, another one.
All ready to go. It's great to have our guest here today. We've been having a chat pre-show, as we do. We are joined by Anita Whitney from the United States. Anita, you're in Ohio.
Yes, right in the middle of Ohio.
Here we go. Yeah, yeah, and we're coming through nice and clear. That's fantastic. Let's get stuck into this with you today. Why don't we go through your bio that you've sent me here? Just take your time and talk about all the great sites and that you've set up and stuff that you're doing, because I've actually been on Parents Against Mandatory Vaccines before I knew who you were, you know? Yeah, I was on that site putting up stories, and Garth and I were talking about that probably a few months back about some of the stuff on there, so... It's really great to have you here today to go through all your incredible material. So welcome, and tell us about, because this is the first time we've had you on, we'd like to get you on again whenever you have the time. It's always good. We always get our guests back on to keep going over things, not just once, you know, because it's important we keep up with what's going on and getting people on and getting the information out there. But tell us about yourself. A bit and go through that, and then we'll just lead in and go where we will go today, because there's plenty to go through.
Okay, great. Well, in 2009, during the pandemic, the false H1N1 pandemic, I had listened to Sherry Tenpenny talk about vaccines, and that was my very first introduction to vaccines. And she was talking about legislation, the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, that had been passed in multiple states in the country. And I started out with a little research, trying to figure out if my state had passed such legislation. And because part of my background was a court-appointed special advocate for children, I had become familiar with what is called the Ohio Revised Code, where all these statutes are recorded yet today. So that started my search, trying to figure out if they had passed any legislation requiring all of the the people in Ohio during a pandemic to be vaccinated. That was my concern, and that was her concern. So as I did my research, I thought, well, you know what? I'm doing all this research, and I just can't keep calling people up, you know, one at a time saying what I'm discovering. So I started my very first website called For Ohioans, and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is also located in Ohio, and I connected up with her people, and it sort of grew from there, and ultimately For Ohioans became Parents Against Mandatory Vaccines. But in 2009, while I was doing all of this and reading these statutes and finding the way they were worded was so strange. It didn't sound like laws. I was seeing things that sounded like business rules. And at the time, I was asking all my friends, what do you think this means? And nobody knew what it meant because there were penalties and fines, and they were giving authority to the Department of Public Health for the preservation of the health of all of the people who live in Ohio. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking this is completely alien to any constitutional rights I thought we have. This just doesn't make sense. And around that time, I listened to, someone sent me a link to a wonderful presentation by a gentleman out of, apparently he was a carpenter, out of the UK by the name of John Harris. And it was called It's All an Illusion. And he was talking about the straw man. And he was talking about the fact that all these government entities are corporate, and they're all listed on Dun & Bradstreet. So since I was looking at statutes and the state public health department and the local public health department and the local school anyway, I just decided, well, what the heck? I'll look it up and see if he's right. And whoa, I went, holy moly.
Yeah, the spider web.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, there's one name here that we think, Ohio, and there's another name on Dun & Bradstreet in all caps, the state of Ohio. And I'm thinking, this is really weird. And I live in the city of, and it's listed totally different on Dun & Bradstreet. So that caught my attention, and I kept pursuing that, knowing it was significant, but not really yet understanding what the significance was. And that took a lot more years of research. And you know what, gentlemen, I think it also took digesting it. Because it, in my head, it was creating a completely different world than the world I thought I was living in.
Yeah, you feel like you're living in the Truman Show. We say that all the time.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and John Harris, in John Harris was so genuine, and his argument was so sterling, and the proof was right in front of me. So I'm sitting there thinking, well, you can't deny this. So what are you going to do with it? And I don't know how you've experienced it. My response, since I knew I had no one to talk to about this at the time, I just decided to kind of let it sit for a while and percolate.
As you do.
Yeah. And thinking, well, okay, now what? You know? And so I did more. I kept listening, and I listened to more and more people on the web, and I kept learning more and more, and fortunately, I met some local people who were meeting together and knew about this, and we got to talk, and at least then, I still meet with them, at least then I had some people that we could converse about this, and I wasn't sitting there all by myself, which for me, having this awareness and being all alone leaves you not knowing what to do with it. At least that was true for me.
Hmm. Yes, that's one of the problems with it, because
yeah, go ahead.
We are alone. Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't know what to do with it, and you don't know how to respond to it, and particularly when you have no one to talk to, you just have to let it percolate. But the good news is that now so many people know about it, so much good information is everywhere, that there really is no reason that anyone has to just sit by themselves and wonder, well, what do I do about it? Because we got great stuff, great, great, great stuff now that I don't think was available in 2009. Mm. Which brings me to that, if you don't mind, I'd love to put in a plug for John Harris's latest called Straw Man, The Nature of the Cage, which was released just this year, I think it was in July, and it was produced by one of the producers who made the documentary Resonance, Beings of Frequency. I don't know if you gentlemen have seen that. I thought that was just wonderful and well, well done. And let me look at his name. He should get credit. John Webster. John K. Webster. And he was the one who put together the latest one that is free online, right, guys? It's free online. You can Google it, YouTube-Strawman, Nature of the Cage, and everybody can watch it. It's 2 hours, and it could change the world if people would understand this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, that's up on our site and Facebook page, so I know a lot of people would have shared that and had a look, so it's good that you mentioned that that film. And so do you want to go into that a little bit more, Anita, for people who may not have seen it yet, basically what it encompasses, what it is?
Well, what they discovered is this corporate structure that is separate from what we think of as our sovereign government, which has been put in place over many years. When I did my research in the United States, it seemed to have really, the straw man really was created in our country in the early 20s, and by 1933, when the banksters, and I'm sure you cover this, the outrage of what the Federal Reserve has done, not only to my country, really across the globe, it's been just horrific what it's done to populations and countries and societies. It's been awful. But in 1933, they established the straw man concept. And what they did is, when the United States was declared bankrupt by Roosevelt and they had to demand the people turn in their gold, which they did, and if they didn't turn in their gold, they could be fined up to $10,000 or put in jail. And that was when they removed what you would call a sovereign currency and replaced it with the Federal Reserve note. Now, when they did that, they took possession, basically, because they were the trustees of the bankruptcy, of all the property and the people of the United States as collateral for the Federal Reserve note, and they created the straw man. And this was really the beginning of the change in our country. I'm not sure when the change happened in your country, although the time frame might be similar, because if you guys ever watched this wonderful YouTube called Social Credit, Jeremy Lee Discusses Financial Reform in Australia. Have you guys run into that?
No.
No, I'll get that up and put it up with the link today as well. Yeah.
I will put it in the box for you. It is just compelling. The man is wonderful. He talks about what happened in Australia and how the Federal Reserve actually was able to come in and do damage to what was a functional economy in Australia. It's very inspiring. It's wonderful. So I will send that to you. But it was all around the same period in the 30s that they made this transformation, and they bankrupted many countries to get control of the currency, the Rothschild's Federal Reserve note. But that was the birth of the straw man, That is, using the birth certificate as a surety against the Federal Reserve note. And that is ongoing. Then what happened, which is where the second part comes in, how they made it all corporations. Over many years, the Bar Society kept bringing in the Uniform Commercial Code in many countries. And in my country, the Uniform Commercial Code was implanted and by stealth, by the bar. And by 1953, the legal system in my country had been altered to the Uniform Commercial Code, the UCC, which is the International Law of Contracts of Commerce. And over in the 50s and the 60s, by the 60s, all of the states in the United States had adopted the UCC and had all been converted into corporations, which is commercial enterprises, to implement the UCC. And people can look at that on Barefoot's World. There's a great piece on that and explains how all this took place. It's called Who is Running America? And it talks about how the bar had been doing this for quite a while, trying to get these uniform laws. And of course, it's all about admiralty, right? You guys know that. It's all about merchant law or admiralty law, which is what they wanted in place. And the reason they needed the bar to do this, they need contract law, admiralty law, to be superior to constitutional or common law. That was the banker's goal. And that's exposed in a wonderful book by attorney Melvin Stamper called Fruit from the Poisonous Tree. And he exposed how important that was to the bankers because they needed the courts to implement their contract law. And they didn't want to be bothered with the jurisdiction of common law or constitutional law, which gave you and I too many rights. They didn't want to bother with that. So everything's about contracts now. And that's the game that's going on probably in Australia. I know it's happening in the United States because if you consent to sign the contract, are you not consenting to the government?
Well, here, it's the same thing because our governments, all of them, are registered in Washington, D.C. as corporations. Okay. So it'll be exactly the same as what's happening in your country, Anita. That's for sure, because we long ago don't have a central bank here, like a people's bank, if you like. That was taken away from us long, long time ago. And, of course, we work under the same system you do with a Federal Reserve. And everything is a corporation, our transport, our health departments, the whole lot.
We have to take into account the low population as well because we're only 23 million people here, Anita, so it's much easier for them to manage as well. I guess people don't notice it as much, especially if they have, a pretty good life. They keep paying into this system, this sort of thing that goes them their whole life. So many people would not be able to make that split as to what it really is or what's going on, you know. The Australia is really an experiment for fines. I mean, you get fines for everything. It's a total nanny state. I mean, you know, and now I see it, that all these fines that you get, people get fines with the police for this and people get fines for running or walking in somewhere they shouldn't or whatever it is. It's all paying money into this corporation. It's all raising money. And people just keep paying and paying that side of it without sort of asking what's going on. But as I said, with the smaller population in Australia, they're getting away with murder here as well. You know? And that's why your information is so important. And I think, you know, you're in the US, but it's happening here. It's happening in the UK. It's happening everywhere. And, you know, so I think we all need to sort of start working it out and getting together to see if we can try and bring it down. Because it's a beast, isn't it? It's a beast of a system, you know.
Yeah. It's a beast of a system, and the thing is, when you're getting the fine, and we'll talk about that more. But if people get the basic idea, you're dealing with a corporation in commerce. It's engaged in commerce, doing business. That's all it is. It is not a representative government. And I don't, you know, in my country, I've said this a million times, it doesn't matter who you vote for, because all the courts, all the statutes that John Harris made that point are nothing but corporation rules. He did a beautiful job. That's what all these statutes and laws and rules and regulations we have on our website, on the Anti-Corruption Society website, posted recently. If people look at the menu on the right side, it says dissecting the basics of our legal system. And we took and put together kind of what John Harris had to say and what I am saying today. And it's only, you know, if you print it out, it's only 3 pages with a lot of empty space. It's not too complex. Some people thought it was relatively easy to understand, and that was the goal, to try something to make it easy to get people to hang on to what it is that they've done, what structure have they created. And at the very top of that, we have a box. And this box has a big circle around it where it says Uniform Commercial Code, Uniform Commercial Code. And in it, we have statutes, fines, fees, rules, contracts, licenses, regulations, penalties, and codes. Now, that's our legal system.
Yes.
Does that sound like yours?
Yeah, it's exactly the same. It's
Well, there was a guy did a bit of a skit on that, Anita, and he just showed on a very large table that particular year how many statutes were passed. And then he moved the cameras. It was only a short one. And then he moved the cameras, and there was this massively long table, and it had piles and piles. It was all over the floor. It was everywhere. These were the other statues that the government had made in their period of about one decade.
Yeah, there was a story in the papers on that, Garth, where even the government, Anita, in Australia are admitting that former governments have basically bombarded the country in massive, massive amounts of red tape in regards to fines. And we had some of the most ridiculous fines in the world. You know, that you can't sail a boat on a Sunday before 10 a.m. in some place and all these things. And they've even admitted that it's absolutely ludicrous and that they're going to try and untangle all of this in Australia. So it's unbelievable.
We have, I can look for it, although you guys can research it. You may really appreciate this. It's called Don't Talk to Police. And a good man, and there aren't too many bar attorneys that I would say that about, did a wonderful talk. He talked faster than anyone I've ever heard and explained that in the United States, and it sounds like Australia's got the same plague, there are like 6,000 statutes, and there's no way the people have any clue of what all these are. And therefore, whenever the police want to talk to you, never, ever talk to police, because innocently, when you have no idea what all these rules are, you could very well say something that could be considered a confession.
Yes.
And used against you just because you have no clue. So his basic premise is don't talk to police, which is exactly what John Harris said, as you recall.
Yes.
Don't talk to police.
Don't talk. Yeah, that's right. Well, you have a legal right where you don't have to talk to them.
Well, it's fear-based, Garth, isn't it? They use fear, and that's what people do, you know. They use fear right down to an individual level in every household. Yes. So people, they're scared, Anita, of getting all these fines, you know. And when they see the police, they just sort of, with that fear sort of that's going on in their minds, they just do what they're told and do talk to them. Applies to all of this, really.
Well, there was a couple of interesting cases recently with people driving under the influence, and the police came on their property and arrested them, and they won in a court of law because the police should have done it another way. Instead of walking on the property physically, they should have pursued them by saying that we consider that you were under the influence whilst you were driving, but they can't walk on the private property, it appears. And there were one guy won $100,000, I think, and another guy won about, in the court system, about $18,000 because the police are taking their job way over the top.
That's going to get worse too, Anita. If people just keep stepping back and taking this, then the police are going to start taking and doing things illegally, and it's going to become the norm.
Well, and that's why it's so important that you show John the straw man the nature of the cage, because they need a joiner. And if you look at most of these YouTubes, they want your name. That's going under their jurisdiction. I think what people don't understand, and they will say things like, you know, the police will get your name in our country, and you can tell me what happens in your country. They'll pull you over and they say, could I see your name and driver's license? That's a joiner. That's you going under their jurisdiction. Okay, that's step one. Step two, did you know you were driving over the speed limit? Did you know you were driving 90 miles an hour? That's requesting that you confess. And if you say, well, I'm in a hurry, blah, 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 then that is considered you confessing. Because you see, he cannot make the accusation and provide the evidence. He can't wear both hats. So what he does is he makes the accusation and he gets you to provide the evidence.
In
a confession. And this happens all the time. Let me read you one thing we have. We have I'm hoping you'll like it. We have a guide for dealing with our corporate commercial system on the Anti-Corruption Society. And this is based on some of John Harris's work, Judge Dale's work, Melvin Stamper's work. We've got a long list of people we use to get the idea of this little guide to give people strategies, much like John Harris and the Lawful Rebellion and all the good people in Britain have done. We have tried to reach them. We have not yet succeeded, but I will continue to try because I support them wholeheartedly, and they might find our guide useful, which is my hope. But we have a 4x6 pocket card that we're recommending people carry for when the police stop them. When they ask for your driver's license without being belligerent, to give them this little notice, and it says this is a notice of non-consent. Now, John Harris promotes the concept, but he doesn't use a card. And this is what it says. Facts. All law enforcement employees work for the private for-profit corporation listed on Dun & Bradstreet that use private commercial script and are bound by the laws of contract. Laws passed by, in our case, it would be the federal, state, county, and municipal governments, are for non-human, legal persons, not for living flesh and blood men and women, unless we consent or agree to contract. Number three, no agency of the corporate government network has the authority to deprive living men and women their human unalienable rights unless we consent or agree to contract. Number four, enforcement of corporate statutes, rules, regulations, or presidential executive orders by law enforcement officers upon flesh and blood men and women without consent to contract are unlawful, and these officers can be held personally liable for their action. And on the back of the card it says, I am not a non-human legal person. I do not consent to your request. I do not wish to contract with you. And there's a place to sign it. You can put the name of the policeman or whoever, what corporation employee you're dealing with. At the bottom, we have notice to agent is notice to principal. Notice to principal is notice to agent. And here's the kicker. At the very bottom, it says, this notice of non-consent and no contract should be taken under advisement. So what you're telling him is that the decision of what to do with this little pocket card is above his pay grade. He better call the home office. Because not only are you not consenting, you are not consenting in writing.
Yeah, and that's very legal.
Yes. A legal notice is very much a part of their commercial system. Without it, their system would fall apart. So this is the kind of strategy we were hoping, because some people are very concerned about going head-to-head. And John Harris said in that documentary that it doesn't always work. Sometimes they're going to try to, you know, drag you out of the car and take you down. again, but their goal is always to get you to sign their paperwork. What we've discovered is that's where the contract lies, is once you sign the paperwork, that clicks in that contract. So for those who refuse to identify themselves and do so without being nasty and refuse to sign the contract, we have found in the U.S. they can only hold you for, we believe it's 72 hours, and then they must let you go. Because they have no jurisdiction over you at that point.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense. And particularly in light of, I think it was John Harris brought it up, when they say, do you understand? And if you say yes, well, you've made a verbal contact. So you stand under them. Can you explain that a little bit further? Because I found that very interesting.
They need your consent. People have to understand it is what we say when we're dealing with them. And they are trained to get your consent. The little videos you see, I've seen a million YouTubes where police officers have asked people to give me what's your name and driver's license. And the people have said, have I damaged anybody or harmed anybody or damaged any property? And the law officer said, well, I need your name. Well, have I harmed anybody? I prefer not to talk to you. I prefer not to give you my name. And they will yell at you. They'll be belligerent, but they know they need that agreement from you. They are trained to get that agreement. And that John Harris is just brilliant at explaining. And I think when you understand it's a corporation and they have to contract, then it starts to make a little more sense. At least that's what I think.
I agree, because when I first got into it, Anita, it was, I just couldn't understand who this strawman was. Who the hell is this bloke? And what's he got to do with it? But I started off with John Harris, actually, and in his earlier days, when he first started.
Yes.
And even then I found it confusing. But now, as you said, you've got to boil over it quite a bit to really start to understand that you are a human being and that they have put on you through contracts a fact that you are a person in a corporation.
Right. There you go. That's it. You got the whole thing. That's it. In a nutshell. You're a fiction. In fact, I proved it again. I don't know if you guys were familiar with the in California, the state just passed their corporate statute, okay, getting rid of vaccine exemptions, right?
Getting that here.
Okay. So everybody's just going crazy, and I'm on a couple groups, and everybody's going, oh, my God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I tried to get them to comprehend, and I'm looking for it, that these corporate statutes are for the person, So I went back. And hopefully this will help people to understand. We're all in UCC now, so they have to write down these statutes in a book. And they all have, I have one called the Ohio Revised Code, and California has their codes. And when they pass these statutes, it gets put in their codes, right? Right. So I went back and I read the bill that just passed that took away the exemptions that people had relied on. Okay, and it's called Senate Bill number 277. I'm going to read you the very first sentence in this. You guys are going to love this. Existing law prohibits the governing authority of a school or other institution from unconditionally admitting any person as a pupil of any public or private elementary or secondary school, blah, blah, blah. Any person as a pupil. So then I went back and I looked at their statutory. In the beginning of the book, they give these general definitions. And you know that I was looking for the definition of the word person, right?
Mm.
Okay. Here it is. Are you ready?
Yep.
Number 17. And I have a link on our website. I'm not making this up. You're going to love this. Quote, number 17, person includes any person, firm, association, organization, partnership, limited liability company, business trust, corporation, or company, unquote.
Okay. And not a human being.
And where did you see a little boy? Did you hear the term little boy or little girl in that?
No.
No, it's not there.
It's just so ugly, isn't it? So sterile.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it, but when you look at it, it's not as complex as we thought, because it is some person referred to it as a crime against humanity as called, quote, personage, unquote, which is committed every day by the Bar Society.
Hmm. Yes.
Because this is the scam. Mm. These laws are written for their corporations. They are corporations. They're writing rules for corporations. And we put on the coat of person, which is just a dead legal fiction straw man.
Mm. Yes. And that makes it so much clearer, doesn't it? And
you
that's
think?
The straw man. Yes, I think so. I think it makes it very clear, because they're actually when we wear that coat into one of their court systems, they do have jurisdiction over us. Is that correct?
I mean, in Lawfully Yours, we took the information from Judge Dale, who is somewhat anonymous. I do know who he is. He wrote the book, The Great American Adventure. In his chapter 5, he described the legal process. And he goes throughout his book, The Great American Adventure, which is free. It's actually a good read. It's free on the Anti-Corruption Society. If you scroll down on the homepage, you'll see this little link, and it says click here for the copy of The Great American Adventure. He is a retired federal judge, and the more I learned about him and read what he's written, I realized that he got out of the judiciary because he knew that justice was not being served, and then he independently and some of his associates started doing research and came up with how the system works. It's called the legal process. And here's what he said about the courts. He goes over and over and over again, it's a corporation. It's all a corporation, okay? They need your consent when they send you a summons, and this is in Lawfully Yours. It's an invitation to come to their meeting.
Oh, that's a big difference.
And he gives you details of how you turn down the invitation. And we have it in Lawfully Yours. A whole page, it's also in Appendix F, called Citations and Summons. And basically, you're using your paperwork to say, I do not accept this offer to contract. I do not consent to this proceeding. And you use a certified mail to present it back to them within 3 days. So, again, everything they do, because they're doing it to the straw man, and they rely on you bringing that coat into that courtroom, so they can access that trust. Everything is about you being willing to do that. And Judge Dale in Lawfully Yours has a whole bunch of ways to help you figure that out and not consent to being in their courtroom.
Yes, that's incredible. It was some time ago, or probably close to 15 years ago, Anita, one of my sons got involved in this, but he was so badly advised, they nailed him to the cross. It cost him quite a lot of money. Yes, he was. These people, there were a group of people in Sydney at the time, and he was attacked in a road rage.
Wow.
And unfortunately, he represented himself, and they absolutely
they
nailed him to the cross.
Like that. Oh, that was,
Well, I think that we've been trying, all of us in Australia, in the United States, people have been trying to figure out this system for many, 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 many years and how to win in court. And Judge Dale contends, and what I've witnessed, he basically says these courts aren't for us and there really is no way because the judge controls everything. But here's what he said. The police officer, and again, this is in Lawfully Yours, is instructed to explain that your signature is merely an acknowledgement that you received a copy of the citation, but in actuality, your signature is notification to the court and judge that you have accepted or consented to this offer to contract, which also grants the judge consent, personam, and subject matter jurisdiction over you and the case. You can cancel that contract, however, by rescinding your consent. The Federal Truth in Lending Act provides that any party to a contract may rescind his contract within 3 business days of entering into such a contract. So across the face of this citation, you should print or type in large print the following words: I do not accept this offer to contract. I do not consent to these proceedings.
Yeah.
Because you're contracting in their corporate court, right? If the country's a corporation, what do you think their courts are?
Yes. Exactly the same, yes.
They're all, yeah, arms of the corporation. Enforcing, what are they enforcing? Their rules, their statutes, and their corporate laws, you know, and they're trying to convince you that they apply to you. And we're back to what John Harris and Jan Wetterich and the other people said, well, only if you choose to wear that coat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all Anita, we have a whole bunch of pedophiles here as well to make it even worse, don't we, Garth? Was it Judge
Hilton? Yeah,
Hilden?
We certainly do. Yeah.
Got caught soliciting young boys in a toilet, a high judge here in Australia. So all these people are totally compromised into this pedophilia and child pornography. How are you going to win against that type of system that's so deeply corrupt? I mean, it's really unbelievable. At the end of the day, for an average human being to even comprehend standing up to something like that. But I got a good website. I was just looking at, Anita, it's the Matrix, the Federal Reserve, the banks, and the straw man that says everything since June 1933 operates in commerce. Commerce is based on agreement, contract. Government has an implied agreement with the straw man, government's creation, and the straw man is subject to government's rule. But when we, the real flesh and blood man and woman, step into their process, we become the surety for the fictional straw man. Reality and fiction are reversed. We then become liable for the debts, liabilities, and obligations of the straw man, relinquishing our real protected character as we stand up for the fictional straw man. So it's I think that explains it so well.
It's perfect.
It's
I agree with absolutely every word, and that is very well put. That is very well written. In my town, right here in my town, I know 2 people personally, and this was their experience, which just confirms what Judge Dale and what we've put in all in Lawfully Yours to help people figure out how the system works. One woman who was practicing homeopathy, she was a massage therapist. They went at her 3 different times to try to arrest her for practicing medicine without a license. Each time she did show up in court, I don't think she knew how to turn down their invitation. But when she got into the court, what she stated to the judge was, you are the corporation, I'm a living woman, we can't see each other. And the judge on all 3 occasions said case dismissed and sent her out. Now, I know another woman who thought she was educated and she was going to fight the system. And I think it was a traffic violation. I can't remember. It wasn't any major crime. So she showed up and she was all prepared to challenge their jurisdiction. So she asked him, what is your jurisdiction? And the prosecuting attorney replied, statutory. And the judge offered up, everyone in this room is a person. Unfortunately, she didn't pick up on that and say, I object. I am a living flesh and blood woman. Instead, she responded, I demand a trial. And things went south from there.
Yeah.
But
feeding the beast.
They told her right then that she was a person in a statutory court. She was the straw man. And she did not know to object.
So she would have had to say, with respect, Your Honor, I am not a person.
She would have, all she had to do was say, I object. I am a living flesh and blood woman. That's
I see. Yes. Okay.
Because none of their rules apply to flesh and blood living people unless we consent to be the straw man and sign their documents.
Mm.
Yes. It's based on Hammurabi's law, and some people, Judge Dale picked up on that. Other people have picked up on that. And it's just like the basics of the whole entire legal system. There's like one rule that cannot be violated ever. And that is only equals can contract. I cannot contract with a squirrel. I can't contract with a tree. I can't contract with a rock. I am living. I can only contract with my equals. So the way the corporation contracts with a living man is they turn you into the corporation so two dead fictional entities can contract. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does, yes. So yes. That's why a human being, a flesh and blood human being, can't contract with a judge if he's in a corporate law. Hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
But he has to make that, you know, the presumption of the court, and in Lawfully Yours we have a whole section, and I don't know if you guys have run into Frank Collins, who lives in Australia, but he did a wonderful piece on the presumptions of the court. And then when you realize that there are presumptions in that room that have to be rebutted, the 12 presumptions of court, the following was provided by canon law research Franco Collins, and he says, a Roman court does not operate according to any true rule of law, but by presumptions of the law. And the presumption, one of them is that you are a corporation too, and that has to be rebutted.
So they're presuming that until you state otherwise.
Yeah, they absolutely everything they do. The presumption exists until you deny consent or you state otherwise. The whole freaking system is built on the presumption that you're consenting. Everything they do,
yes.
Everything.
And if you remain silent, then that is that can go against you. So you must actually say something. Is that correct?
Yes, right. If you remain silent, this is the law of merchants, and this is, you know, some people have called it the Talmudic law. But basically, we live in a system that it is presumed that you consent unless you absolutely deny consent. Instead of everybody thinking we're innocent until proven guilty, our system actually works, I'm sorry to say, the opposite. And once we get that, and it's all about contracts, then we start to have ways that we can deal with it based on what is real. And they're all about contracts. In Lawfully Yours, in the appendix, we have what is a contract. And it's just the basics of contract law that, truthfully, gentlemen, everybody should have been taught the basics of contract law by the time you graduate from high school. Because once you're 18, you have the legal capacity to enter into contracts. Only the Bar Society doesn't bother to tell you how they work.
Yes, of course.
Come on, Anita, you're living in a dream world. We need to hear about Kim Kardashian's bottom. What are you talking about?
Yes, and basically they're really simple. And Judge Dale makes that point in his book. He said, the thing is, it's all about contracts, but we have to hold them to be honorable in their contracts. And instead, they have taken the position that ignorance of the law is no excuse. So we keep getting trapped.
Yes.
Because we don't know what it is.
It's could you go through?
And I guess with all the rigmarole, they make it so complex. You mentioned Talmudic law, that some people consider that this Admiralty law is. Could you expand on that a little bit? Just
well,
or where we can get some information on it?
Talmudic
law. There are many people who said it's the this Admiralty law is based on Talmudic law. And I don't want to go into that too much. You will see that in the presumptions of the court. But the whole concept that you are guilty unless you find a way to prove yourself not guilty, as you know, that would not be Christian. I mean, what kind of legal system would it say that automatically you're guilty? And we're going to make the accusation and we're going to punish you unless you figure out a way to wriggle out from under it. I mean, that's not what you would call a justice system, right? That we believe in the golden rule, right?
Yes.
And this system is not based on the golden rule. This system is based on, you know, we're in charge and we're going to trick you into consenting to doing what we say. And if you don't, we're going to punish you.
And it disregards the real person as well, which is terrifying.
Right.
It's like you're a nobody. You're not even there. There's this sort of straw man that follows you around your whole life that answers for you, but you don't know it. And that's the terrible thing. Yeah, you're in a limbo state, really. And they're treating you like that. Yeah. That they're treating you like that in this system. You're inhuman. It's just unbelievable.
You are. You're a corporation. You're inhuman. You're a corporation. And all they need from you is that signature so they can get the money out of the Cestacute Trust. Then they'll do whatever they want. That's why it's important to recognize on how many ways we're consenting to contract with them until the system is taken down and replaced with something that has to do with justice and the golden rule. From where I'm sitting, gentlemen, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, what we have to do right now is figure out how to tell people how not to contract with this corrupt system.
Yes, I think that is a priority for sure, because there are so many people just don't understand it. And, you know, as you said earlier, it was difficult, and it was difficult for me, looking at it and trying to work it out. What on earth is going on? Because when you're coming from from an area where you believe that your country is or your government is elected by the people,
they're actors.
Yeah. Yes, they're actors.
It's a wrestling match.
It's a bit of a shock.
Put on a show for the mob. Well, you know.
Yeah, but you guys see it playing out. You hear what I'm saying, and you say, well, that's what I'm seeing. That's what people are reporting. These are the tragedies that are ongoing. And yet they stand in front of the cameras and they tell you that this other thing exists, but it doesn't.
Yeah,
it's a scam.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and when you listen to you understand it's all corporations, and corporations can only deal in contracts, right? Remember, yes, they're just pieces of dead legal fiction. So contracts, the law of contracts binds them. They are bound by the law of contracts. Okay, so where is there hope? Well, there's a lot of hope in that, because there's six elements of the law of contracts that make sense. They actually make sense. And we would all agree with them. The one is to have an enforceable contract, you have to have both parties agreeing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We both agree. I make an offer, you accept it, and we both sign and say, great, this is good. We both agree we're going to do this, right? That's reasonable, in my opinion. Okay,
right.
Number two, legal consideration. For a contract to be legal, there has to be a consideration. When you buy a house, you offer the seller a price, and then you have to have earnest money. So there may be $500 escrow amount that you put down. That's a legal consideration, okay? And number three, legal capacity for contracting, right? We talked about that. You can't contract with a three-year-old child. They don't have the legal capacity any more than a stone does. So both parties have to have the legal capacity. Number four, and this is where we can get them when we figure this system out, the contract has to be absent of fraud or duress.
What was the first word?
Fraud.
Fraud and duress, yes.
Duress. Because both of them would negate the number one, which is mutual assent.
Yes.
See how that works?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, number five. They can't be in violation of the law. In theory, they can't lawfully contract to murder, steal, damage property, trespass, or sell into slavery. Okay. Okay, and number six. They must be realistic and attainable. I cannot contract with you to buy the moon. And put you in jail for not being able to deliver it, right? But
yes,
I mean, now you see why Judge Dale says it's up to us to figure this out and hold them to him being honorable in their contracts.
Whew. Decoding the straw man.
Yes, exactly. And they're not being honorable, and we don't know that. So we're sort of clueless as what to do about it until we finally figure out it's a commercial enterprise and they're all engaged in commerce. And to loop us into their commercial enterprise, they turn us into a corporation. Basically, that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, you just look at the debt-based banking system and how horrible is that, Anita? You know, I mean,
right.
In Australia, you might buy a, you know, you buy a house and you buy it for $300,000, but if you just pay that back over the 30 years, you end up paying like $1 million, and it's just you pay and pay and pay all this interest back.
Outrageous!
It's just outrageous, really. You think, how are people ever going to get ahead? But could you back up a little bit and go through this? You know, in regards to the United States, the U.S., the U.S., USA, America means a federal corporation. Could you explain that just for people who might be catching up here about what this means, that the United States is a federal corporation? Because I've heard you talk about that before, and it's so interesting, and I think this gets people's heads around a little bit more.
Yes. In 1871, after the Civil War, a lot of things went down in the Civil War that are not in our history book. From what our research has shown, and we have this incidentally on our website, on the homepage. Let me look what it's listed at, and I'll just give you some summation. It's not real long. We tried to make it fairly short so that, you know, it wasn't a novel. and I did put it in we do have a YouTube out there also, exposing some of this, but, basically, on the homepage of Anti-Corruption Society, if you scroll down, you'll see a flag. It's a United States flag, and on the flag, it's got the red and white stripes. And then in the box where you're supposed to have stars, we have FDA, CDC, FAA, HUD, CIA.
Yes.
And the title of the box is, "Our Government Just Another Corporation." Okay, so that means that I can find the CDC on Dun and Bradstreet, the FCC is on Dun and Bradstreet, the Department of Transportation's on Dun and Bradstreet, FEMA is on Dun and Bradstreet. The whole thing in 1871, from what I've gathered, the Rothschild bankers, after the Civil War, the government was in terrible shape financially, and the offer was made to help bail them out. But one of the reasons for incorporating, they wanted a surety that they would get paid back, okay? So by turning the government into a corporation, you can enter them into a contracts. And if they violate the contract, then they're obligated to the terms and conditions. So they said, we're not going to deal with just a bunch of men. We want to deal with a corporation. So in the Act of 1871... turned Washington, D.C. into a federal corporation, and it remains there today.
Mm. Yeah.
It is still a corporation.
It helps and people, all I of think, these, as well, doesn't it, Anita, to see that it is a corporation. Once they get their head around that, it's a corporation, then they can start to dig and work on all of this.
Yes,
agree. It helps you open it all up, doesn't it, when you realize it's
very important. It does. It helps you understand that, okay, if it's all a corporation, CDC, on Dun & Bradstreet, FBI, each one of these branches are sub-corporations of the mother corporation. And they're all doing business. And you will watch, when you get to know the employees, excuse me, you'll see that they're exchanging contracts. They give the public health department in Ohio a grant contract, and it says right on there, grant contract. And the employees who work for the public health in Ohio, which is done in Bradstreet Corporation, they have employees who sign that contract and agree to the terms and the conditions. So the money comes down from the feds into my state, and it's given to the public health department to do what they want done. They accept the money, sign the contract, then they're obligated to the terms and conditions of that contract, that offer. And I see it over and over, everywhere from my state government to the state agencies to my local government to my county government. It's all the same thing. They're all doing business. They're all signing contracts.
Yeah. Which is cutting the people out.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Garth, that's it. You got it. And yeah. Have you not felt like we've been cut out for a long time now?
Oh, yes. Right out in the cold.
Not in the ball game. And so, Anita, right. The military, Gus mentioned that too. The military, I guess that would apply to NATO, are there, to protect the corporations.
Yes. That's exactly what's going on.
As they, you know, yeah.
Yeah, the military, you're saying the military is protecting the corporations, yes.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. And in the United States in 1933, at the same time they managed to steal the people's gold, they convinced Congress to pass something called a national emergency, giving all of the, since it was such an emergency and they needed the gold and they ran out of gold, and some people say it's because the Federal Reserve robbed the Treasury of all the gold so that they could force us all into the private currency Federal Reserve note. They declared a national emergency, and that's how they justified getting the people to turn in all their gold. The problem is that they never discontinued it, and this national emergency gives the executive branch unconstitutional power because it's an emergency. And Roosevelt used that, and under that they set up the whole, all these federal agency network. And, you know, Social Security, they just set up, that they've been setting this thing up since 33 to the point where we now have in our country, according to the Federal Registry, 450 different federal agencies.
My goodness, yes. That's unbelievable.
They're all doing business.
Yeah.
Mm.
Also, I had an article, I don't know if you saw it, Anita, that I put up. It was U.S. military uses IMF and World Bank to launder 85% of its black budget. It's talking about all these spy operations. They're saying it's an increasingly massive expenditure, subsidized, of course, by American taxpayers. And the CIA and NSA alone gathered $52.6 billion in funding in 2013, while the Department of Defense Black Ops budget for secret military projects exceeds that number. It is estimated to be $58.7 billion for the last year of 2015. For this year, 2015 already, so that's just I can't even fathom that. And this is talking about secret military projects, which they call black ops or black budgets within these departments. So that's an astonishing amount, and that's incredible that's happening. But the U.S. military is getting these funds from the World Bank and IMF,
right?
Funded by the poor old American taxpayer and the rest of us.
Well, now, who do you think are the trustees of the bankruptcy of 1933? You just named them.
Oh,
the IMF.
IMF.
The IMF.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, World Bank, IMF. Yeah. Well, that's gathering the money for these, but as you just mentioned before, all these spy agencies and CIA and NSA, I mean, they're getting all the money as well. But nothing compared to this. But that's... I've seen reports in the United States where they're asking these people, where are all these billions of dollars going? And they just won't answer. But to think of this, you know, it really is frightening. I mean, they're mentioning spy satellites and stealth bombers and, you know, all these next generation stuff, that drones and powerful eavesdropping gear and radars and all this stuff that they're buying. But you really wonder, you know, what the hell are they using these trillions of dollars for, getting dumped in this black hole that we know nothing about. It's really, it's quite frightening, actually, really, for the general human being to work this out.
It is frightening, and there is a level way above what I'm talking about that is well-funded by fiat currency. In other words, the international bankers, they have their little machine, and they can crank out numbers anytime they want. And they can put what they do, and I think you guys already have seen this, they throw money at that which serves their purpose, and they deny money to that which doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
it's almost like the scumbags are protected too, Anita, in the law system. It's like the good person they want to really punish with the full extent of the law, someone who's trying to stand up for themselves, but all the scum and criminals seem to be protected. It's a reflection of who's running things.
It is, and it's run, it's all fraud, and it's run like, you know, I keep thinking it reminds me very much of The Godfather. You know?
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, they're going to make us an offer we can't refuse and stuff like that, you know?
Put a horse head in your bed. Yeah.
It's run to me just exactly because it's all done by stealth, like a criminal cartel that wants to run the world.
Well, they use fear as well. That's a big thing, Nita. When you have a whole population in a fear state, you know, it's so easy to keep controlling them. Because when you're in a fear state, you can't see things. It's like drowning. If you panic, you'll drown. You know, people aren't in a calm state and working this out. They're living in a fear state, but the worst thing is they don't know they're living in a fear state. That's become the new norm. So people are living and dying in a fear state, and that's how the whole planet's being kept in. And I think, you know, 9/11 was a fear-based mind control. All these wars is fear-based mind control, and the television shows right down to the sitcoms that people watch every night. It's keeping people in this state, and they don't realize it, and, you know, and that's not a good thing for a human to be in fear, but it keeps their control grid going really nicely, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought that up. That is so horrifically important for people. I'm sure you probably say that on your program all the time, that when you're afraid, your cognition is thwarted.
Blurred.
You cannot take the information that straw man is offering you and calmly sit down with a cup of tea and say, whoa, now this makes sense. And that is the whole purpose of keeping the fear in place, right? Don't you think? So that we don't back up and grab a cup of tea and say, well, let me look, how is this thing working? And what am I doing? And what could I do differently? See, if we do that, then we would find ways like we're talking about of not consenting. And they don't want that.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's average man who has a family and kids, you know, and an okay paying job. He doesn't want to buck the system or get involved in it or ask questions.
In a lot of cases, you were talking about fear, yes. I mean, because these people work for these organizations or these corporations, they would have fear because, you know, we don't see enough whistleblowers coming out. So they're fearing for their job.
Or floating in rivers.
There would be so many people who would talk about it, but the fear of the repercussions of speaking out, because they're under contract, as you mentioned, Anita, they're under contract to their own corporation.
To do the wrong thing.
To do the wrong thing.
Yeah. Now, if they would really start, if all these people would just get lawfully yours and read what is a contract, and just, we even have a checklist there to help people understand how to challenge these contracts. We get into these contracts, and there's a couple things that nullify. We even talk about how you nullify a contract. Implied consent is complete garbage. Okay? Implied consent is something that we should be challenging all the time. How can you imply consent?
Yes.
It's like, you know, it's just, and I tell people, it's like, I want to buy your house, okay? It just so happens that you're riding lawnmowers in the garage. Okay. So I buy your house. We agree on the price. We go to closing. And then I look at you and I say, okay, now where's the lawnmower? And you say, well, the lawnmower isn't there. And you say, well, it was in the house. And you had parts of it hanging on the wall. So I thought that implied that you're consenting to sell me the lawnmower. And of course you would say, that's nonsense. But you would challenge me on that. Mm. We're not even challenging on these implied consents.
Yeah.
Some people, one lady told me, when you get a driver's license, there is an implied consent that you agree to all the terms and conditions that the Bureau of Motor Vehicles is going to put on that contract. And she said, and that's just part of having a driver's license. And I said, well, there's something we have to challenge. I didn't agree to have my blood drawn when I signed the contract to get a driver's license. That makes that can void the contract. In other words, we need to really look at these things and say, well, that was never revealed, and we're back to mutual assent. I didn't mutually agree to that. Number one, mutual assent. Well, when you start bringing in hidden stuff, how can you assent to something you don't even know about? You can't. So we're just trying to take apart the fact that it's all contractual and maybe bring some reality into things that we are told are true that may or may not be true. Does that make sense?
It does. There's just one question on that. When you say get your license and you have to start, now, right. Do you got any of that? Because if you all the fine print, shall we say, you'd have to read that and understand it.
Right.
Because behind that license, it wouldn't be written on the license itself, but I'm sure there would be statutes and all this rigmarole that nobody probably ever sees. So how do you overcome that if you've actually signed for that license?
Well, then you drive along, ho-hum, until the policemen stop you, and now you're going to not consent to his jurisdiction.
Yes.
Because you cannot have a clue of how many little statutes they passed surrounding driving, you know?
Yeah,
holy
that's right.
You don't even know what they are. There's no way you can consent to them. So it's not really an honorable contract, because terms and conditions that they are presuming you are agreeing to, you couldn't have assented to because you had no idea they were even there, nor were they exposed at the time of the agreement. That's why the only way to get out from under that is to not give him jurisdiction. That's for most of us, that's like a no-win. That you can't win with that, because I don't know what kind of nonsense you put in those statutes.
Yeah, right? Well, that's right. They can make up anything.
That's right. And they do.
They do. Oh, yeah. Garth knows about that. With the one of the worst, Anita, is our councils. You know, it's unbelievable, the red tape that they have. I mean, if you have a property, you can't even take a pee on your own property without getting the council rangers involved. It's just astonishing, you know.
Well, now, I had a friend who has a property, and we were working together, and so far so good, and I don't have enough experience with this to tell everybody that it will always work, but it's in Lawfully Yours. It's a letter of inquiry where they sent her a letter saying they just passed a new rule and they want environmental permits.
Mm.
She had a rental building, and they said, well, we've got this rule. You've got to apply for a environmental permit. It'll cost you $7 for the first year, and renewal will be only $50, and fill out the form. Okay. Fill out the form. And what do you gentlemen think that meant, filling out the form?
Contract.
Yes. So she sent him a letter back and said, you know, I got your letter. Could you please tell me your corporation, and she identified him, your corporation, the city of Bluhu, and she put him in all caps name, sent me a letter. Could you please inform me, freedom of information request, what contract you have in your possession that I signed that obligates me to adhere to your corporate statutes? Thank you so much. Appreciatively, Louise. Okay?
Mm.
Mailed that back to them. Well, they weren't too happy with that. So what did they do? Sent her a letter number two. Apparently, you didn't understand letter number one, so I'm going to give you the contents of this statute or ordinance that got passed. Number such and such and such and such, it says, blah, 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 blah. Well, it was, of course, all for persons. And then he sent that back to her. No mention of the fact they had no contract with her signature on it, right?
Mm.
So she gets this and she looks at it, and she and I talk, and I said, well, why don't you thank them for giving you that wonderful information? So she writes back again, and she says, thanks so much for the good information you provided me about blah, 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 blah. However, you were not able yet to fulfill my request. Please indicate what contract I have signed that you have with my wedding signature, indicating that I'm obliged to abide by him. Well, they didn't have one, of
course.
They
didn't have one.
They don't have one. So now they're in a and this, of course, every communication goes to the attorney. Every city in the United States, and I don't know about where you live, has a city attorney. So any question about anything goes right to the Bar Society. So he takes a look at it. Well, now he sees that this person is demanding the contract. And he knows there's no contract, right? So what this particular city did is they got another attorney. They hired a private attorney, which we thought was a very interesting approach, who sent a letter to her saying, you were notified and you were told about this statute, and those who don't abide by it could suffer such and such a penalty and a lien. Now, this is a completely separate attorney who decides they pay him to scare her. Mm. But it's not the city attorney. So she doesn't respond, and she's still waiting for the city attorney who she requested the contract of to contact her, and so far he hasn't done it.
Yeah, so therefore, by his silence, he did a breach of the contract anyway. Would that make sense?
He doesn't have a contract with her name on it.
But even if he did, by not responding, wouldn't that go back to that area of that he was actually in? There's a special word for it. I remember seeing that if you remain silent.
Silence is acquiescence.
That's right, yes. So he's agreeing to what she's saying.
Basically. Legally. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, she's got all these nice letters in her little folder, doesn't she?
Yes.
And never once did she say, some people start these letters by saying, this letter is not a refusal to pay.
Mm.
Right?
Yep.
I'm not refusing to pay. I just want a copy of the contract that I've signed that obligates me. So now if the thing gets heated, now she brings out her letters and she says, she sends them the letter, a copy. I never refused to pay you. All I ever asked for was a copy of the contract that obligates me. So now she's laid her little paper trail. Mm. That she's never refused to pay. She's just trying to get verification that she's obligated to pay. You see, does that make sense? What we're doing is they send us a letter and saying, you owe this, you do this, you do this, you do this. And we don't question it. We just, yes, sir, okay, I'll send the money. But instead of doing that, we're doing kind of what John Harris was saying is, you know, where's the contract? Remember that wonderful movie about Show Me the Money. What was it, Jerry Maguire?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom I think Cruise, we should say, show me the contract.
Or they're going to jump out the window. It's like that character in The Simpsons, Lionel Hutz, when he opens his suitcase and it's all got shredded paper in there. He's great, that guy. You know?
Yeah.
You start questioning them, Garth, and they start sweating and pulling the collar, you know, and you open their case and there's a mandarin and all shredded paper in there, and they jump out the window.
That's right. And the thing is that all of this is based on the straw man, right? Right.
Mm.
At what point do you think they're willing to send you a letter saying you're obligated because we have your birth certificate? Now, They're never, ever going to do that, are they?
Could they do it?
Well, they could try, but then you're going to go back to them and you're going to say, show me where my mother agreed to create this fraud. In other words, all we've done is we turned the hat around and say, okay, if that's your claim, show me where my mother agreed to enter into that agreement with you and how that was valid, this fraud of a birth certificate. And I deny that that's me. And, in other words, if they do that, then we calmly proceed to set the record straight. We have a letter in there for CPS when we're trying to inform them that they don't have jurisdiction over our child and they need to knock it off what they're doing. And I'm just going to read you a little bit of that because, again, it's to let them know that you want verification of this. You're not going to make the presumption, and you don't want them to presume that you're consenting. All you're asking for is verification. Now, let me see if I can find, it's a little letter to Child Protective Services. Okay. As the living flesh and blood mother of John Doe, I declare the following. As the mother of my property, progeny, remember, it's your property. You created it, right?
Yes, that's right.
Biologically created by a man and woman. The state can't do that. They don't know how to do that. They're a fiction. You created it. Okay, it is your property. Let's see. I am responsible for John Joey Doe for his nurturing and education. He is not the property of the corporation listed on Dun & Bradstreet as the state of Ohio. Upon my baby's birth, neither my husband nor myself donated or pledged Joey Doe to the state of Ohio or any other corporate entity. Any presumption we did is false. As a for-profit corporation, the state of Ohio cannot make laws regarding the care and upbringing of flesh and blood boys and girls without their flesh and blood mother and father's consent. They can only make laws, rules, and regulations for non-human living persons. This description does not apply to Joey Doe. I do not recognize the entity known as, in this case it would be Franklin County Children's Services, as a government child protection institution. It's a for-profit corporation doing business listed on Dun & Bradstreet. As a for-profit corporation, it is bound by the laws of contract and has no authority to initiate any action against Joey Doe or my husband or myself without a contract. I do not wish to contract with Child Protective Services. This is my notice of non-consent in my refusal to contract. That's it. You're sending them a letter saying they don't. You are denying the presumption that they own Joey Doe.
Yes.
You're challenging that presumption. Now, people haven't been doing that, but it's just a little letter.
Crikey.
Yeah, because, the governments, particularly in New Zealand, they've been just coming in and taking the kids.
Right.
And if they don't vaccine them, give them vaccines and that, they're also trying to come in on that one.
That one of the problems is, someone in Australia, and that's a problem. You really have to be clever and you really have to be brave because some of the people in Australia, they're trying to make a rule for anyone who's on government benefits and obligate them to getting the child vaccinated. Well, if you're on government benefits, you are in contract with the government, right?
Yes, yep.
Okay, but I wouldn't quit because you could tell already I'm a little bit stubborn, right? Where in my agreement with you, I'd go back to the mutual assent and try to get rid of the implied consent. To get these benefits, where did I agree to allow myself or my flesh and blood living children, boys and girls, to be injected with unwarranted pharmaceutical products. And vaccines are, once they took the liability away, what they have produced is a toxic, unwarranted product. There's no warranty that it's either safe or effective. So when they demand you do vaccines, they are saying, we demand you use an unwarranted product. The manufacturer does not warrant it as either safe or effective. Now, we're asking you to put this unwarranted product into your child. And where does it say that you agreed to that condition? I mean, when you took these benefits, nobody said, well, that meant we can make your child drink arsenic if we want. I mean, that's not in the contract, is it?
No. Yeah, that's right. Yep. So they'd have to come forth with a contract stating that you agreed to that. Yeah.
Right.
And they can't do it.
They can't do it. And the reason they can't do it is none of their rules are written for flesh and blood living women and men. So it's not hard to take apart the statutes and see how it doesn't really apply. It applies to the corporate entity, just like I read to you on that. Does that make sense? The one I read you on the California bill, when they described it applies to the person as a pupil.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Because
when we read it, was it not obvious that it didn't apply to little boys and girls?
Yes, because they can't make it's an unequal.
Yes.
Is that what it is? It's an unequal contract?
Well, yeah, and how can you make rules? That would be like making rules that would apply to six different frogs. The gemstones aren't living. The frog is. How can you make a blanket rule for the dead and the living and apply it to both equally?
You can't. Can you do it?
A lot of is that, and that's what the gentleman didn't really hit home on. And the fact is that the corporation's a fiction; it's not real. And we are real. We are real.
Yep.
They can't walk. They can't talk. You cannot get the state of Ohio on the phone to save your life. I mean, you can't. It cannot be done. You can get an employee of the state of Ohio.
Okay.
For quite a while, and it's really not completely strange to you at all.
No.
Yes, it's,
no. We haven't had someone like you on, so it adds weight to what we're doing. It fills that gap, doesn't it, Garth? Because we've been chatting about it, but we haven't had someone like you on that needed to sort of explain it. So it fits in with what we're doing here so well.
Good.
Yeah. And do you think particularly to get you back, I think because there's so much to cover
as a birth certificate
as well, and also with the Federal Reserve, the way the money is. Things like that which combine into this corporation gimmick that they got us on, you know. It's really a gimmick, isn't it?
Yes, it's all fraud.
It's crazy, and yet they're conning us. And, I mean, as I said earlier, there's intelligent people you can talk to, and they know nothing about it. I'm talking to educated people. I've never been to university. I haven't got a PhD. I'm just a mere old carpenter. But it's crazy that educated people just don't seem to know or don't want to know about it for some reason.
Well, it seems to me that if they get – this is what we've noticed. In our country, and I don't know what your television is, we've got all these television shows about our legal system, and it looks just like a wonderful justice system. Okay, so until you get burned by it, and I was burned by it, I was in it up to my neck. I've tried to get justice through the legal system so many times that until I read Judge Dale's The Great American Adventure, I couldn't figure out if it was me or the wrong lawyer or the wrong judge. You make all these excuses of why we're not getting justice and why innocent people are going to jail and what the bleep is wrong. And then when you read Judge Dale and you realize that we've been fed a scam about what our legal system is, and what our government is and what our money is, then all of a sudden, whoa, I've witnessed it all. It's just that I didn't understand. I keep saying they're playing chess and they're telling us the game is checkers.
Yes. And we're not looking into it.
Well, they don't want us to, do they?
They don't want us to. Well, as Adam knows quite a bit about it, but with the corporate state prisons, they're making slaves out of people by putting them in there, and they're creating products in jails, I understand, in America.
Yes.
So it goes from the judiciary where they're putting these people in just for having a couple of joints in their pocket or whatever.
Right.
And it seems to be when you're talking about this, you start to get the whole picture of why all this is happening.
Right.
Because the jails are a corporation and they have to make a profit. And
that's
there was
right.
even one case I was reading where there was in one of the states in America where the jail actually sued, I think, the judiciary for not supplying enough people under the contract.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, it does. If you take a chance to look at Lawfully Yours, and if you only take the time to read this section called The Legal Process that was written by Judge Dale. When you start to read that and your knowledge of it's all a corporation, I think what we've witnessed starts to make more and more sense. Instead of this black hole of madness, which is what it looks like if you don't really understand how the game is played, you start now to see, oh, this is why they need you to stand under. This is why they need you to sign the contract. In the United States, as Judge Dale points out, and as I have witnessed, if you sign for bail, that's a contract with the court. If you accept a public defender, that's a contract with the court. You are consenting to whatever the corporate court wants to do. Merely by contracting it, there is no justice in that corporate court. It is not a place of justice. It is a place of commerce. And you are an asset in their world. You are not a living man or woman.
Transaction.
Until you, yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, it does. It just made sense to me then when I've seen so many people, they go in and they get one of those court lawyers to defend them because they haven't got any money. And
right.
then all of a sudden, it's all decided. The verdict is decided in the back room.
Right, right.
Behind the
curtain. Absolutely. Yeah. You were actually by the time you got in and signed the paperwork, they could get to the SESTQ trust. They could get their money. We have evidence. Judge Dale talks about this trust. Representative Traficant talked about this trust that's connected to your birth certificate. And one of the researchers that we've been working with, she found a copy of it, and we loaded it up on our website. And so it's like, oh, my gosh, there it is. It goes from the court to the Federal Reserve. And we're like, well, now it makes sense. And Judge Dale does describe that, though. We just found evidence of it to support his description. He was the one. He does a beautiful job of explaining the scam. Between him and Melvin Stamper, you read those things and you're starting to get the picture pretty clear. We tried in Lawfully Yours to condense this because part of the problem is people don't have time to read 800 books.
Yes.
And still try to eke out a living, which is getting more and more difficult to do.
Treading water.
Yes. So we put together, and you guys, I mean, I'm not. If you criticize Lawfully Yours, it won't make me crazy. And if you think there's things that we can improve, I will listen. But it was written as a guide, and we call it the People's Empowerment Guide to Our Corporate Commercial Legal System. And right on the front, we have a caution. Here's the caution. Do not expect bar attorneys to support these facts or strategies. Bar attorneys created our corporate government, and they are the ones that misrepresent it, profit from it, and keep it in place. Seeking their advice, counsel, or approval is not recommended, since, as this guide will demonstrate, they are a monumental part of the problem and an infinitesimal part of the solution.
Yeah, well, that's probably why our political people come from the generally barristers or lawyers.
You got it. You got it. And that's why it's no coincidence that all these new statutes are written in the same exact format, using the same style, the same verbiage. You know, here's the rule, here's the penalty, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's coming from them. You and I would never write it that way.
Yeah. Well, gee, that's that really has been some great information. I'm definitely it's a free PDF, is it, for Judge Dale?
Yes. Yes. Judge Dale's a free PDF. Lawfully Yours is a free PDF. They're both available. We have quite a few things on our website. We on a source document page, you can see the case monetization file for yourself to see that it's there. You can purchase Judge Dale if you want a hard copy. We do have a printer. It's not for profit. We're not taking money for this. It's only the cost of printing. But if you prefer to sit down with a cup of tea and read a hard copy, you can get hard copies of both Lawfully Yours and Judge Dale and do it that way. Some people prefer it that way.
Yes. Yeah, so one of our problems out here, of course, is the you can pick up cheap books, secondhand ones and that, but it's the cost. It's the cost is getting a bit prohibitive to get them sent over here.
So this one, that lawful, they're not that long. You can probably take the PDF, you know, on a disc or something to a printer and just let him print it out.
Yes.
I don't think it would be that expensive.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then you've got it. I'm sure you've got the same kind of things we have, and they can even bind it if you want it bound. I think it only cost me $10 a copy or something ridiculous, but I did it because I want a hard copy. But
yeah.
I hope this made some sense to you gentlemen.
It certainly did. It really explained it. Yes, and I think it's very important. And I've been lately like checking your website more, the Anti-Corruption Society, and there is so much great information in there. Where, you know, there's no excuse for people not to go in and dig it up for themselves because it's there, and it really makes it clear. You know, this Strawman thing.
We haven't mentioned Agenda 21 either, Anita. And, you know, all this is being merged into that as well. It seems it's getting deeper and deeper. But we're getting, as I said, Agenda 21 right down to the council, just basic levels of life here. You can see it. You really can.
We are, too.
The kids can do in primary school and everything, you know, with all these really silly little nitpicky laws and regulations and more paperwork. It's getting unbelievable.
Well,
now
all
the state government, here has just recently, it was front page actually on the Terrible Telegraph, Mr. Murdoch's great newspaper here, and what they stated was
garbage.
That they're going to bring all the councils who have done all the dirty work for Agenda 21 to start with. They now want to bring them into the state government. And, of course,
they're merging them.
They're merging them. And, of course, what's going to happen then? Because John Howard, who was Prime Minister for about 11 years, I think, he wants
GST.
His agenda was more power in Canberra. That's the central government. So you can see it all happening, and it's through this Agenda 21 where they're actually merging everyone.
Yeah, total control, John Howard.
So you can see what you're saying, and yes, Adam, what Anita's saying is, it just makes it easier for their corporate laws.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, we should merge Australia with California. We're going to call it Caloralia. It's the same. This SB
and you've got the same problem, though.
Yeah, but
you got the same problem that California has that I have here in Ohio.
Yeah,
and that is that all they can do is write rules for their corporation.
Keep
That's
writing
all
them.
They can do.
It's just this SB 277 bill. It just seems they're just getting desperate now. You know. With these vaccine bills. It's just totally illegal, unlawful, ridiculous, preposterous, you know, and they don't care, you know. It's amazing.
Well, I drafted a little letter, and I'm having problems, and I'll tell you, it's on Parents Against Mandatory Vaccines.
Yeah, great site, yeah.
And I'm having problem getting people to comprehend that the answer is not in legislation. That's where the problem is coming.
Yeah, it's not in the.
You know, you're not going to pass a new bill and make this go away. So we have a letter that we recommended on our website, a sample letter that these parents in California, they can send us either as a letter and see how far they get or as a legal notice. But basically, it's to the superintendent of school in California, and we're going to call this guy Mr. Bluhu, Barney Bluhu. And this is what we suggested. The vaccination requirements of the all-caps state of California, right, all-caps letter, has adopted for schools do not apply to my progeny property, Jimmy Doe. Per California statutory law, SB 277, they only apply to persons as pupils. According to the state of California statutory definitions, quote, person includes any person, firm, association, organization, partnership, limited liability company, business trust, corporation, or company. As Jimmy is a flesh and blood human boy, he does not fit this description.
That's right.
Requirements. Yeah. For firms, associations, organizations, partnerships, limited liability companies, business trusts, corporations, or companies, none are living beings. All are merely artificial legal construct. Cannot be imposed on small flesh and blood boys such as Jimmy.
I'm a real boy.
Please place this lawful notice of exclusion, not exemption, in Jimmy's records. Should you mistakenly elect to prohibit Jimmy from attending your school, which could cost you approximately $10,000 a year, I just thought I'd throw that in to let them know we're aware of the scam, please provide me with a letter, a signed letter stating your decision, so I won't be falsely charged with failing to comply with the state of California's compulsory school statutes. This letter can be used to prevent any unlawful punitive actions against you. Appreciatively, Mother of Jimmy Doe.
That's great.
Yeah, that's that puts it back on them, doesn't it?
Oh, I guess if enough people do that, we may see them back off. But what happens, Anita, if they just push forward and forcibly start vaccinating children? What do we do in a case like that, you know, when they do that? Because that's a real worry.
Yes.
If
they just go for that grab, you know, and do it.
Right, and that's why it's real important that we start making this distinction. You know, if they want to have a forced vaccination, I'm not opposed to that. I'd be happy to give them the birth certificate and they can vaccinate it if they like.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's what they own.
Yeah.
They can have Jimmy's coat and stick a needle in it if they want. But I am not consenting for Jimmy to be the birth certificate. And I am making that point by saying a flesh and blood little boy. Remember, none of their statutes are written for flesh and blood little boys. You aren't going to find those words anywhere.
No. So therefore, if they do go ahead, as Adam suggested, they are becoming criminals. They are, in common law, they are attacking, if you like, a small child.
Well, yeah, the problem is, it does make sense. I mean, you're thinking in rational cognitive thought here, okay?
Come on, Garth.
Come on, Garth. They're thinking that they're still vaccinating the birth certificate. If nowhere in Jimmy's record does it make that distinction, I'm afraid that Jimmy's in trouble. I mean, I don't mean to be frightening anyone, but John Harris made the point. It's the birth certificate they're acting on.
Yeah.
If we don't make that distinction in their world and saying this flesh and blood little boy is not that document, I am his mother, the owner of this property. He is my property, not yours. But to get to where we might want to go, I'm throwing out ideas of letters. We really have to understand that wonderful documentary that we keep raving about, which is Straw Man, The Nature of the Cage.
Hmm.
That's who they have control over, the coat, not Jimmy. And sadly, unless we let them know that we're not giving them permission to create Jimmy, treat Jimmy as if a person, they will assume that we're agreeing to allow them to do that.
And it's a positive thing, isn't it, Anita, that film being out there and us talking now and you doing what you're doing. Something's happening here, and I think more and more people will get onto this. And I see if enough people start watching this film, The Straw Man, and getting into this material, that they will back off. Because they're just relying on us to just, you know, lie spread eagle and take this, you know.
Yeah.
I think exactly. If enough people start doing what we're doing now and talking and telling their neighbors and discussing and getting this information out and it catches fire, they always back off. They always do.
You know, it's nice for me to ask you gentlemen who have known about the corporation for a long time, perhaps you could get together and decide how the easiest way to bring people up to snuff on this without overwhelming them. Because when you've been at it a long time, then you sometimes throw in more information than people can digest. Right. And so maybe we start with John Harris, the Straw Man movie.
I think so.
And then go on to say, well, he is telling you what they own is the cult, the Straw Man. So unless you tell them otherwise, they're going to act on that human in that cult. And that presumption will remain unless you do something to break it.
Excellent. They are vampires, aren't they, Garth?
Yeah, they certainly are.
Gotta let the vampire in to give it to let in your window.
Just to clarify that, what Anita just said, in essence, if more people sent that letter in,
yes,
the vaccine one,
even before, yes.
Yeah.
Say like this government, this federal government next year are wanting to pass this law where they're going to take the government benefits away from parents who don't vaccinate their children.
Right.
They're coming in the back door sort of way.
Right.
But if a letter like that was sent by all these concerned parents, and there are many.
Thousands and thousands, yeah.
Thousands. If we could get that message out on our site in this country, and Adam's very much tied up with a lot of other sites all over Australia,
right.
If that message should go out to send a letter that was prepared legally,
right?
Because to expect everybody to sort of get all this in their brain, as you mentioned earlier, while they're raising families and all this sort of stuff, is hard. But if it was done for them, that all they have to do is send this letter.
They could send the letter, or now we have in Lawfully Yours, and I'm hoping that you guys take a chance to look at that, because we have used what is accepted in their world called a legal notice. A legal notice is a basic, they use them all the time. That's a commercial document, okay? Now, we have prepared templates for legal notices, and it's on our webpage, Lawfully Yours. If you scroll down, you'll see a link to the whole manual, which is now, the little guide is only 64 pages, actually 63. And right underneath it is an item listed as templates. And if you click on the templates, you'll get I think there's 11 templates, and they're Word docs, so people can work with them, use them. And basically, they are legal notices to inform the parties that you're dealing with that you're not consenting, basically, and that you're a flesh and blood living being, and you're not consenting. And they are witnessed. You need a witness if you're going to use this. Again, why do you need a witness? Because the witness is saying you're a living man.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can... He watched you sign that, and if you were a dead legal fiction, he couldn't have seen you sign that document, right? Right.
Mm.
So take a look at that as a potential tool to start fighting back and eliminating this presumption.
Yes. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, yes.
Yeah.
People can do that because there's organizations now in each state. They've recently had a march against a lot of this mandatory vaccines,
right.
For example, and that's where they're coming in on.
The thing that I'm running into is that many of these organizations that are aware of vaccines and the problem have bar attorneys in them, and the bar attorneys are behaving like gatekeepers.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
This is their bread and butter. This whole statutory corporate system is how they make a living. In fact, I have seen if they expose it, it's likely they'll lose their bar card. So getting people to break their dependency on a bar attorney, the bar society, and that's the term the Lawful Rebellion uses it. They call it the bar society. Getting people to break their dependence on that. And I think the straw man would help people do that, don't you? That documentary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, and also with your site, I think there's a lot of very, very useful stuff on there. It just means scroll it going through, and when people have got a bit of time and having a look at it.
And
pick up a lot of stuff. Yep.
I don't know if you were aware of this, but the attorney Melvin Stamper exposed that the American Bar Association is an extension of the Rothschilds London Bar Guild.
Is that right?
And it was landed on our soil, imagine this, about the same time as the passage of the Federal Reserve Act. My
wasn't that a coincidence? Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because they brought in the taxation to make sure that they would get the interest on the money they created of thin air.
Right. And they needed something when they knew they were going to be writing mortgages, charging you three times the cost of the house to pay it off. They needed a legal system that would force that on you, didn't they?
Yes. They certainly got it. Oh, yes. Dear oh me. It's just getting – that rabbit hole is just getting so deep. I mean, I thought I knew a little bit about it last night. After going through the one we just mentioned, I've got so much in my brain and the heater, I can't cope with it. I'm on overload at the moment.
He's on overload.
I know. I'm sorry. And I've been told that if you hit people with the whole thing, they're just going to get a headache. So, you've heard enough that I hope that you all are more optimistic about ways in which we cannot comply with this parasitic system, and that hopefully, though we have no control over these horrific weapons, my goal in life, and I might as well share this with you because I have a feeling you share it as well, I may not be able to stop what's going on, but by God, I am not going to consent.
Yes. Exactly. Yes, exactly. That's right.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just lay down and die.
No, and my little picket post is right here in the ground saying, by God, I'm not going to consent.
Mm.
And whatever happens, happens. But they're not going to do it with my consent.
Be a stubborn pain in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
why
really?
Not? You know?
I mean, we can't consent because in their world, in their crazy lunatic world, right now, they think that we are consenting to our own demise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, wanting it.
Yes.
That's right.
Most people are, unfortunately.
Right.
And most people protect this system as well.
By trickery, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's trickery. Yeah. Context.
Trickery and necessity, not by free will. It's trickery and necessity.
It's diabolical.
It really is.
You know, when you think about it, how they're doing it. To trick people like that, it's inhuman to me.
Yeah. Can I mention my little radio program?
Yeah, you can do that. I'm going to put all these links up because I want to put up the Parents Against Mandatory Vaccinations and all these, any sites that you're involved in at all will all go up with a link accompanying this as well. Because you've put up a form, do not sign the refusal to vaccinate form. I think people need to read that as well here.
Yes.
That's really important. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you have that in Australia, but they threw that at all the pediatricians, and that's covering our country right now. And I am married to a retired physician, so a lot of what I have on that site, I walk across the room and I throw these things at him, and he tells me from his point of view, you know, how it works or what he thought. And so I'm able to bounce some of his experience in the system to come up with some of these strategies. And he's helpful for that. He doesn't pick up after himself, but what the heck, you know?
That's marriage.
That's marriage, right.
Yeah, yeah. But, these sites, Anita, are very important. Yeah, the straw man, your sites, all of this, some of the most helpful and you know, sites I've seen, Garth, so... you know, so important for people to start reading through this and
absolutely.
Just keep putting them up on Twitter and Facebook as well and getting it out there. Because there's so much on these sites to go through.
Mm.
So much information to help people.
Yes.
You know, and you know, when they get that knowledge and they can take this and actually speak up.
Yes.
Yeah,
and find a way not to consent to their own demise. I have a program on RBN. On Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, called In Defense of Humanity. And it's a two-hour program. We talk about a lot of these topics. My co-host is Ingrid Castle, and she's been in the vaccination movement, oh my God, for her mother wrote a book, a famous book about it, and she's been involved in it for 20 or more years, probably her whole life. And yet she's aware of the straw man, and we frequently bring the vaccination issue into our discussion, although, it as you know, it goes further than that. But we try to, on our program, we try to talk about all of these issues. And so anyone who wants to tune in, they can hear us. And if you look on our website, Anti-Corruption Society, on the top, you'll see IDH. Program links, and that's In Defense of Humanity. We try, like you do, we try to put links to what we talk about after the program so people can find it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Good. Great.
So when we talk about all of this all the time, you're not a person. In fact, we're trying to train everybody to never use that word again.
Yes.
You know, it's better if you curse than use that awful word, person, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Because that takes away you being a living man. I mean, talk about being soulless. That turns you into a rock.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, you're not.
Well, when
so I'm glad you guys are interested. It's really exciting, and I hope...
I don't drink fluoride, neither does Garth, so tap water. We actually have some brain cells left, but as you said, Annette, I wouldn't I'm just learning so much today as well.
Yes,
Garth's probably more clued on in this area, but you know, we can't expect people to just jump in and know all this. You know, some people listening to this might know more and less, and just depends on what their level are. But I think those documentaries like The Straw Man, some people do prefer to watch a film, and they can learn more than reading a book. They like to hear more than actual read, so that helps so much. And to mix in with the sites, the websites, and your show you just mentioned. Start doing this over the next few months into the new year and telling people. It's a process, but you'll feel better at the end of the day for learning all of this, that's for sure. And you realize you've been conned. And you don't
right,
want
and there's
that,
a, you know? And the same people who did that show several years ago made a short, if you haven't seen it, it's really short, it's 5 minutes. I mean, it's a little cartoonish kind of thing, Meet Your Straw Man. And you can put that in the box for people who just say, well, wait a minute, what is all this? In 5 minutes, they're going to get a little bit of a lesson, Meet Your Straw Man. And they did a really good job on that one, too.
Mm. I think I've seen it, but I'll go back and have a refresher on it. Yes, it was good.
Wasn't it good? Yeah.
Yes, great.
And it wasn't terribly complicated, but it did lay a foundation for what we're talking about, don't you think?
Yes, it does. Yes.
God.
And that's what you need, because it is a brick wall when you run into this. Suddenly, the whole system changes. And, you mm-hmm. know, people think their government's for them, you know. And actually, one of the things that just made me think about that, Anita, was that you were talking about the corporations in London and our governments. I understood some time ago that when they're sworn in, and I could never work this out, but after talking to you today, it's actually become quite simple, because they give their allegiance to London.
Right.
They don't give it to the Australian public who actually voted them in. So when they become a corporation, they give their allegiance to another corporation.
Absolutely. In fact, things are so bad here. I don't know if you've ever gone to any public meetings, but the corporate construct has taken over all of our local governments completely and totally. They don't work for us. And they barely pretend that they work for us. But if we go to a public meeting, they say, oh, we have all these meetings open to the public. They have a rule that you're allowed to talk for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
As if you're going to say something in 2 minutes.
Yeah. And quickly you figure out that someone told them that all the public wants is our say. We don't really want our way. So they make room for us to have our say, and then they go on and do exactly what they were going to do anyway.
Yeah. Well, don't they send people in there? There's a special name for them. They send people into these meetings so that the public, they sort of make the public feel as though they did get something out of the meeting, but in actual essence, they got nothing.
They got nothing. The policies never change.
So there's a special name for these people that they send in.
Dickheads.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it, but it's happening all over.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They're corporate trained people to go in and control the meeting.
Yes.
And they've really got nothing to do with the locals, or say it was a council meeting.
They're there to make the locals think that something's being done or someone's on their side. Yeah, it's like
that. That's right. There's a special name for them all.
Snowden leaks in this, yeah.
Are you thinking of the term facilitator?
No, it's another word.
Okay.
Do you think I can, dear oh me, it'll come in a moment. But
we won't hold it against you, guys.
We won't hold it against me.
But, quickly, Nita, I saw on a few programs on one, it was Jamie Oliver. He's a chef, and he was in California, I think, and he was trying to help the schools to cook better food. And, because they're just cooking this rubbish for these poor kids, you know, and he had to go and grovel to this school board. I don't know what it was, and he got 2 minutes. I barely think that, to try and get a better way of eating and diet plan. And this guy hated him and tried to get him arrested, didn't want him to do it. And these people, they just get so used to sitting on their asses in their seats, you know, in councils and these government positions. And they don't probably even know how the system works. They just do what they're told to get their paycheck at the end of the day. And it's a really sad way to live for them as well.
Well, my co-host has a significant other who got elected in a small town to city council. So it was interesting for me, and I had a long conversation with him to say, what do they tell you once you're elected? Okay.
You're in the stew.
I got an earful. Yes. First thing they tell them is you're now an employee of the city corporation.
You're done. Yeah.
Is that right? Yep.
He even sent me a CD with all of the orientation material that he received, giving him instructions of how to wear this hat as city councilman. And he sent it to me, and I looked at it, and there it all was, guys. I mean, all the rules were given to him. This is the rules. And they told him, here's your rules that you have to abide by. And guess where the origin of the source of the rules was coming from? The attorney general for the state.
Is that right?
Mm. Yeah. So the bar instructs the city councilman how to do their job.
Dear old mate.
Yeah, so now you know, the minute they get elected, the bar jumps in and says, you can do this, you can do that. And they kind of threaten him, saying, if you don't follow our rules, then somebody could maybe sue you. And so they're scared. They do the rules so that they're told, if you follow our rules, we're going to grant you immunity and nobody can sue you. And it's really an insidious system, if you think about it, don't you think?
It certainly is. It certainly is. You know, and it's your... The name of your site certainly suits it, Anti-Corruption Society, yep. Because that's what it is. It's full-time corruption.
Yes. And it's organized.
And it's organized. Organized corruption.
Yes.
Yeah. God damn it. Yeah.
Well, it's coming from the bar. We can't forget that it's coming from the Bar Society. Those people, and those Brits in England, they were absolutely 1,000% right. The rules are written by them. The judges control the courts. The statutes are written by them. The city council takes their advice. You have attorney general for each state and attorney general for the corporation of the United States. It is the private bar guild, and it is a private bar guild. They have union membership cards. They're not licensed by the state government. They pass the test. They learn the rules that they're supposed to learn to be a bar card carrying member. Then the justices in each state tell the bar card people what they can and cannot do, and if they don't follow the rules, they lose their bar card. And I know that because I had a lawyer that I hired who challenged their rules, and his bar card was suspended for 6 months for challenging their rules.
Oh, the almighty God.
Yeah. Dear me. Yeah. Yep.
So they are in control in our country and possibly yours. Again, they're writing all these rules. And they've got the judges to enforce them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And they're all compromised.
Yeah.
That's the thing we were talking about so much, Anita. There's a lot of these people through pedophilia, for example, or stuff, especially in New Zealand, they're compromised. And if they do say anything, they'll release information on them in regards to their sordid little secrets that they have. I mean, I read that in America, the CIA has smut files on all sorts of governments. You don't want to go in and bomb Iraq, then we'll bring out the smut files on your prime minister, on your president, on this person. So they're all compromised, all of them, and so they're going to do what they're told.
Yeah, anyway. I think Hoover started that, from what I was told.
Smut files, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, and it's been, and the blackmail works very well. So until something happens, and to me, you'd have to get rid of the bar and get legitimate currency, which is why I sent you that link about Jeremy Lee, because he explained when Australia was actually doing that and how well Australia did. Until then, I don't know, folks, if you come up with a better idea. Not consenting seems to be the best approach for now.
We seem to need a whole reset, don't we, of our whole planet. We just need to, like a computer, just clean it out, reset it, start again.
No, really?
Yeah.
So deep.
What was the, with Jeremy Lee, Anita, what was that one he...
Did I give you a link? I want to make sure I did. Because it's so wonderful. He did such a good job. Jeremy Lee, I did send you a link, and I don't think I have the name. Let me look, and I can get it so people can get it. I know you guys post links, too. Okay, the name is, I'm clicking on it now. People can type in, you know, their search button and put YouTube dash, and the name is Social Credit Dash. Jeremy Lee discusses financial reform in Australia.
Yeah, okay. I saw that one before.
So that was social
credit.
Credit.
Dash.
Yep.
Jeremy Lee discusses financial reform in Australia.
Okay.
And he ends, when he ends his little talk, he's giving a talk to a room full of people where he educates them on the financial nightmare that we all seem to be subjected to. He ends it with Waltzing Matilda. And that song just is so inspiring for me. I don't know why, but it just, you know, that I put on my website, that famous conductor, Andre, what's his name? He was in Australia. And he did a wonderful performance of Waltzing Matilda and had the whole audience, I think this is in Sydney, like weeping. It was so beautiful.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know some parents who name their daughters Matilda. They like the name as well. So I guess
it's a great song.
Shows that innocence of Australia and that beauty that we have there. It's a shame to lose it all in this rotten system, you know. So hope people get on board. Think they would want to. It's their money. It's their life. It's their children, you know.
And the crazy thing is about it, you know, you see Australians are assisting in the downfall, the total control of it. And these are our educated people. You know, we need scholars. We need people with foresight. And yet we've got governments chockers full of these corporate-controlled shills.
And right. General people, Garth, you know, you might go down the local pub and try and talk to someone about this and they want to punch you. It's like this, you know, they're protecting the system that's poisoning and killing them off. And that's a terrible way to be.
Right.
You don't want to be in that way at all. Protecting them, they don't care about you. It's amazing, you know.
It is amazing, and it's amazing. I don't know, you can tell me what your observations have been. My observations is they don't want to let go of the myth that they have a legitimate government, no matter how badly they're treated. They want to hang on to that myth.
Yeah, because I suppose it's big money for them, isn't it? I mean, most of these higher-ups are on, you know, $450,000 a year, plus all the lurks and perks. I guess it's a power play.
What about the little guy in the pub? If you tell him, you don't really have a government, it's just a for-profit corporation and they're profiteering off of all of us, how would he take that?
He's going to get upset. Especially if he's had a couple of beers.
Most of them were stuck here, Anita, in that vicious circle, as we talked about. John Howard. What was that book, Garth? Stopping Dissent, he was the worst Prime Minister in Australia's history. But, you know, he really got rid of all the independent parties. And really now we have Liberal and Labor. And they're what David Icke calls opposames. You know, but you get these people that are Labor voters. Their entire life, no matter what they do, they don't care, they vote Labor.
And I have the same problem.
You know, and it's just this vicious circle. And every 3 years we have these elections and, you know, everybody hates the Liberal guy, and then they go and they vote in Labor, and the plan continues. And then 3 years later, they hate them so much, they go and vote the Liberal guys back in, and Labor, Liberal, and it goes on and on and on, and no one wakes up to smell the coffee. No one sees this going on, you know, that it's not working anymore.
Well, there's a wonderful piece, I don't know if you guys have ever read it, The Banker's Manifesto of 1892. It's great because they admit that they're in 1892 that they're going to control the unions. The Banker's Manifesto of 1892. It's available everywhere and on the internet. Well, I went to look at that, and it said they were going to divide the country into two parties so that we could fight each other and continue to work on things that had no matter to them, and it didn't interfere with their plans. If they could keep us fighting with each other, then in the background, they would implement their plans, which, of course, is what they've done. But what I found interesting is I thought 1892, now they're setting up a double system of opponents to be continually battling with each other. And I decided to look up the Hatfields and McCoys. And lo and behold, the Hatfields and McCoys were added, I think, in, like 1880 or something. Yeah. And I'm absolutely convinced that they used the Hatfields and the McCoys to set up this Republican, Democrat, Labor, Conservative thing. And they keep it going because it works.
Yeah. Well, it's the same system here. The interesting thing here, though, a prime minister we had, Malcolm Fraser, has recently died. And what happened before he died, he made a public statement and he said that our two political parties should actually coalesce because they're the same.
Yeah.
And that coming from an ex-prime minister was rather... rather good because, you know, he must have, his maker might have given him a nudge before he passed away and said, well, at least, you know, say something honest, John.
Cough up some truth.
Well, you know, it looks like to me, if I was an artist, I would try to draw this, but I'm not much of an artist. It looks like a bicycle. And for a period of time in our country, they use the red and the blue, right? The Democrats and the Republicans. So for 4 years, the bicycle, the red tires in the front and the blue tires in the back. And the bicycle rides down the road. Then 4 years later, they switch the tires, but they're still riding together down the same road. They're still on the same bike. It's just which color is in the front, which is in the rear, and then they switch them.
Yeah.
But it's still going down the same place.
That'd be a good... That'd make a good cartoon, yes. Somebody with an inventive mind could do something with that.
You'd have to have them changing the tires as well, though. So it'd have to be a moving cartoon, maybe.
Yes. or little different boxes, you know?
Yes.
You know,
little different boxes.
they don't. It's all going in the same direction, folks. It's just a question of which puppet's in front and which puppet's in back, you know?
Yes.
Well, it says on that Anita the Banker's Manifesto of 1892, as soon as I read it this way, it says, "We the bankers must proceed with caution and guard every move made, for the lower order of people are already showing signs of restless commotion."
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing I read. So, you know, I'll put that up as well. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, we can't have little peasants down there getting onto us, you know.
Yeah, and they don't want that. So that's why in our country, when we have these presidential elections, they keep us preoccupied for 4 years, or I mean for 2 years, and then we finally have the candidates, and there's a big gala, and everything is just all about everybody puts signs in their yard like it matters.
Yeah.
And that's the dog and pony. Shop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we get that here. But we just have less to choose from. We have just two. You know, and they act like they're against each other, but they're all shaking hands in the back rooms. And as we said, they're opposames. It's the perfect word for them.
Mm.
You know, it's unbelievable, Garth.
It certainly is.
Nita's still there? Yes, we went over, actually, but... It's been so good talking to you and learning all this. It's amazing. But sometimes we go over. That's okay. All good. But, you know, it's been so good having you. Thanks for, spending time with us. It's really good.
Talking to you has been a delight as well. It's really been fun. And it's great that you guys have such an open mind. Thank God.
Yes, of course.
So that's, great. You take care and love to talk again shortly. There's so much to go over.
And thank you so much for the invitation. I truly actually enjoyed it more than an interview I've done in a very long time. You guys are delightful.
Oh, we'll get you back on again sometime soon, Anita, and sort of shift things up a bit and go in another direction as we do and go into some other things. Because the vaccine issue is very important here and we're getting a lot of interest and a lot of parents who were on the fence are now coming onto our side. I've never seen anything like it, actually, in Australia. We've got big marches coming up all across the country in Sydney, and it's just growing and growing, and people are resenting this now they've found out about it. So they're not happy, you know, because they don't want to be told what to do, you know, with their children. It's their children, and we want them on board. So it'd be great to go through this stuff with you as well. because it's happening in America. What happens there happens here, and vice versa. We're very close, Australia and America.
Yes.
Seems to be the same things going on. It just might have different wording or a different look, but the same things are going on in both our countries.
Are you not under the same banker occupation?
Oh,
right?
God. Oh, yeah.
Yes, it would be. But particularly with the vaccines, Adam and Anita, with you coming on, it gives people something they can do to protect themselves, you know, because it's up in the air. You know, people are saying, well, they're going to do this to us. What can we do? We can march. We can jump up in the air. We can go on forms and all that. But really, legally, people have an opportunity to protect themselves.
Literally. I mean, if you can talk them into it, they could carry a sign that says, I'm a flesh and blood human and I do not consent. Boy, that would shake this system up.
Wouldn't it? Yes.
Yeah, start using the straw man. Stop letting the straw man use you.
Or I'm not a person and I don't consent.
Yes.
These kind of things, that would shake the system up, and they would absolutely be shocked if that.
Oh, the system would be shaken up if people just know they have a straw man. Just the basic part of all of this that we're talking about, if people just accept it and know it and see this corporation, that would start to crumble the system. They don't even want you to talk about the straw man, most people. They want them to work and go home, eat their dinner, go to sleep, get up, do it all again, and then get shoveled into a hole. Not asking anything. So they don't want even people to know what the straw man is, Anita. That's all we need to do, get people to just question the straw man and start to just understand that. And then watch the movie, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a great place to start. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to share things and to learn about what your world's like. And yes, I'd love to come back on in the future. That would be wonderful.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, you take care.
Okay, you
Anita,
too. Thank you.
Until next time. Bye.
Good night.